Good day, everybody out there in Internet Radio Land. How are you? I hope you're doing well. I'm doing okay, doing all right. Welcome to my show, Gods and Goddesses. You know, it's a funny thing. Last week I was saying, this is when my show began, and I remember now that the sun is set. The sun set a little bit earlier last week. Isn't that amazing? Because there's still a bit of light right now. When my show began last Saturday at 6 o'clock, a big bird, I think it was an owl, went and landed on a tree over in the distance. There's a 24-acre park behind our backyard. And shortly thereafter, shortly after the show began, it became dark and I couldn't see him. Well, this other little bird just came and landed on a tree right out in front of the patio here in the backyard. And I thought that was kind of a coincidence. A small little bird, I don't know, sparrow maybe, but last week it was an owl. So maybe, you know, I have an audience. Not necessarily a huge audience, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, but I've got even a bird over landing on a tree is good enough for me. You know, I'm an entertainer. I like to have any kind of attention. And so I've been off. I was off last week. There goes the bird. He flew away. And I was off last week. I had a good time. It was relaxing, you know. Although teleworking, you know, I'm teleworking, and that's easy enough as it is. I don't have to, not like before COVID, I would get in my car, drive 20 miles to work, and then drive home 20 miles, and then work in that building, you know, where I work at on Fort Sam Houston here in San Antonio. And here, when I telework in my house, you know, I can work out here in the patio. We've got an enclosed patio, or in the dining area where I've got my laptop set up right now on a work stand, about 5 feet, 4 feet off the ground. And I keep the door propped open so that fresh air comes in. You know, in that building I work in, there is no fresh air. Supposedly the ventilation's good, but there's nothing like working, excuse me, in the fresh air. So I am so sorry that people are affected negatively from the virus. You know, I feel for the pain that people are going through not having a job. Like 40 million people who were employed before, there goes another bird, are now unemployed, or, you know, over the last year. In other words, there's been a lot of unemployment. And so what does that mean? They don't have enough money to buy their food and pay their bills. Me, I'm doing okay. A lot of people are, you know. I was just thinking, Amazon, I've been buying a lot of things from Amazon. They have been, I think, doing really well, making probably better profits than they were before COVID. So in a way, the pandemic has been a blessing in disguise to me. I don't like to say it even when so many people are suffering, but for me, it's like, wow, teleworking is great, you know. I don't really want to go back to work, but I realize I'm going to have to eventually, whenever that is. And right now, I guess the cases are, you know, there's a lot of people dying each day. I wish it wouldn't happen. I know that's a lot more than when we had just the flu virus and pneumonia, you know. Last year, all the other previous years, so many people die each year from the flu virus. There are so many cases around the world. But with this virus, it's a very aggressive strain of virus, you know. And plus, I think there's a lot of hype, too, which makes it worse. And wearing a mask, also, that's another thing. So let me tell you what I did today. I woke up and I went to the track, which is I usually do. And this one was at a local high school. And I love sprinting anyway, you know, whether it's at full power or, 75% power, 50% power, just sprinting down the straightaways, walking around the corners, you know. And I was running backwards, too. I like that. It's good for balance. You got to try it. So a good workout, my latest in my mind, I think I'm going forward. I like going to the track and because it's better than the road and it's better than the dirt track on Lackland. I changed my mind with these things, but my body, you know, seeing all the changes it goes through and how I wake up in the morning and if I breathe, how I breathe during the night, I decide, you know, what's working best for me. It's like a work in progress. You know, I'm in a constant state of change. But my present workout, I think the one that I like the best is, or one of the workouts, because I did a one-mile run. I'll do a one-mile run or one-and-a-quarter-mile run nonstop, you know. I also like walking. I do a lot of walking, so I incorporate both into my into a workout, you know. And so I think I always like to walk a lap first, you know, to warm up, and then start doing the sprints, maybe not full power. And then on the other side of the track, the other side of the track, then I'll run backwards for about 100 yards. And do that for a couple laps, you know, and then one more lap or two to cool down, walking. And then that's like a mile, five laps, mile and a quarter. And that's good enough for me. And then, so I did that this morning. And, well, first let me tell you about last night. I got a call from an old friend who I talked with fairly recently, about a month or so ago, who I used to be friends with in Guadalajara, Mexico, from 1971 through 73 when I was there. I did my 11th and 12th grades in high school. And his name is Javier Orozco. And he's my age now. He's about 65, 66 years old, 67, I'm not sure. But we had a heck of a time there in Guadalajara. We had our cars and we had girlfriends, and it was a dangerous time, but it was also an exciting time, and we made it, you know, through. And now he's got a son and two daughters, and he's got grandchildren. Me, I've got my son who lives in Burbank. He's 26. I don't have any daughters, don't have any grandsons, any grandchildren from him. I've got grandchildren from my wife. And my sister has grandchildren. She's got, I forget now how many. She's got a lot. Anyway, so I was talking with him last night. He's in Puerto Vallarta. I've been there a few times. Last time was on a cruise of the Mexican Riviera. And so I've been there like three or four times. I forget. And I think he has a house there. He's doing pretty well. I think he's fairly successful. And so we talked about the good old times, the good days. And then after hanging up on the phone, it must have been about 11:30 at night. I brushed my teeth. I flossed. I had one of those picks, you know. And I was flossing this one tooth at the back of my mouth, and the crown came off. So I told my wife, I said, "Bummer. Man, you know, because I rarely have any trouble with my teeth, you know, but this crown came off." So I got up early this morning and I went to the dentist, 77 Dental Clinic. And after that, I went to the track. And then I told my wife we were going to go to Zumba at Gold's Gym. So I went there, got there, and I was one of the first people there. And so we did an hour of Zumba. And me, I really like to dance. It's been almost a year since I'd been there. I was going all the time, just about all the time, maybe once a week before COVID. And so it was good to get back into it. You know, I'm a really good dancer, I think. And I do a lot of spinning around and jumping up and down, twirling around on my tiptoes and running backwards and forwards and just running around in circles, running in backwards circles and tap my toes and clap my hands, standing on the balls of my feet and raising my arms up high. You know, I just have a great time. And my wife was there, and there was about six people, seven, and we all had masks on. That was the thing that was kind of, you know, hard. I mean, I just breathe through my mouth most of the time. Then I looked around behind me where the treadmills are. People were working out on treadmills, and I noticed that some people had their masks down, having their noses exposed. So I thought, well, I'll try that. And it wasn't too bad. And then there was one African-American woman in our class. She's a tall woman, about 6 feet tall, and she just pulled her mask down. The instructor, she started with a mask on, but took her mask off. She explained that she has some medical condition. She got a doctor's note, so she doesn't have to wear a mask. And so I talked with her after the class, and I said, "Can you please tell me where you got your note?" So she started explaining what her condition was, and I said, "Oh, thank you for telling me. I don't really care about that. I just want to know, you know, what excuse you used to get a doctor's note so you don't have to wear a mask. Because I'd like to know, you know, if I can get a doctor's note saying I don't have to wear a mask, because it's hard. You know, it inhibits the oxygen intake into the body. Obvious, you know, that's logical." Anyway, we had a good time, and then we went to this pizza place where you make your own pizza, and we had lunch there. But, So the sun is gone. That's amazing how the sun is setting later, already at like 16 January. And it's still light, where a week ago, right at this very moment, I mean, this hour, and at this minute, last week, it was already dark. Pretty amazing. So what is there to talk about the election? I write things down sometimes. I've got a reader board that I use a magic marker, I write down all these subjects I want to talk about during my show. And we had some pretty strong winds a few weeks ago, and it blew over and one of the legs broke, and now it's sitting on the side here. And so, but I kind of like to be spontaneous, just talk about whatever comes to mind. But usually I have, several subjects or more written down what to talk about. So I would like to say this. I was taking a nap this afternoon before my show. And thanks for tuning in, wherever you are, and you might be listening to this even when it's archived in BBS Radio's archives, And these words that I'm speaking are going out into the atmosphere anyway, Whether there's 1,000 people listening or 100 or 10 or 1, I don't know. I don't care, really. I shouldn't care. If there's 1 million people, I'd be probably a little bit nervous, But anyway. So with the election, the inauguration coming up. Although there was an election, I guess that was partially accurate. With Joe Biden, my plea to everybody out there who might be listening in regard to anybody who tuning into the airwaves, so to speak, if you know what I mean, in regard to Joe Biden, leave Joe alone, please. He was elected fairly. There is no evidence. You have to be logical about things. Some people aren't logical, Well, hi, Simba. Our cat just came up. How you doing, buddy? How you doing, man? What's up, pal? He's a beautiful cat. Named Simba. He's a black and white cat. And he's been around here since, 2011. He's an awesome cat. Hold on just a minute. Let me open the door for him. Probably wants me to feed him, but I don't have time to do that right now. So, logic, my friends, logic is what rules. You have to. 2 and 2 equals 4. I heard the comments of some of these people that rioted at the Capitol building that went inside. Everything they were saying just to me was like off the charts. Like, wow. I can't believe that person just said that, It does not make any sense. I understand why they do things like that. They're probably poor, unemployed, not working, right? No, who's going to get together at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon and do something like that if they're presently employed? So unemployed, poor, suffering. Maybe a little bit of the white supremacist kind of group in there, the violent right extremist kind of so to speak, on the left, right, that kind of stuff, radical left, extremist right. To me, it's all just human beings, you know, with a different viewpoint, who were raised differently than we are, were, who maybe were abused, you know, in their upbringing. Maybe they were raised in poverty, and they haven't known too many good things in life, you know. So everything, every single comment I heard them talking about, that was flawed rationale. I'm sorry. I'm a very logical person. I consider myself a very intelligent, well-read person, you know. I sometimes turn the volume off TV, and I just read the closed captioning, and that's fine. I mean, that's how fast I can read. And it's kind of neat, too, when you see somebody talking and you can't hear their voice, but you can read the words underneath and you can associate it with the person, you know, what they're saying, the mannerisms, their visible emotions, you know. But what they said didn't make any sense. I mean, where voter fraud, where? Show me the list. Show me the instances. Show me what happened. Write it down. Let me see. Let me see. Voting irregularities, where? Wrongdoings, where? Show me. Show me. Show me. The Supreme Court knocked down the strongest case they had. So, I mean, and Mr. Trump still hasn't conceded. I mean, he's recognized Joe Biden as the next president, but what we have here, ladies and gentlemen, is a man. I don't want to say anything really negative about Mr. Trump, but because I recognize the good in him. I'm a man of God. I won't say I'm particularly Christian, you know, although I kind of lean more towards the Christian side than the other religions, you know. Spirituality is what I'm talking about, you know. That's what I believe in. But Mr. Trump, he's, I think he didn't have a lot of love when he was raised, you know, in his family. His father was a businessman, you know, a successful businessman. And Mr. Trump eventually would become a successful businessman. And so that's a pretty cutthroat business. You know, you learn to, you remember that movie, Trading Places with Eddie Murphy, where he took the place of Dan Aykroyd. And so the two guys who hired him were these businessmen that would cheat and do whatever they needed to do to be successful, you know, and they had millions of dollars. Well, that's what we got ourselves into when we elected Mr. Trump. In all fairness to him, he's a good enough man, and he talks very sensibly. He's a great public speaker. And how many people voted for him? 74 million. But come on now. I mean, the popular vote, in my opinion, I don't know about you. Are you electoral college kind of person, or are you a popular vote kind of person? Because I'm a popular vote kind of person. The majority of Americans out there is what really counts, you know. The Electoral College, they've been trying to abolish it now for a long time, many, many decades, and they should. But no one has the courage enough to start a bill to get rid of it, as far as I know. So Mr. Trump, he's all right, you know. I mean, he's got a great sense of humor, too. I mean, he did before he was elected in the primaries. I thought that some of the things he was saying were hilarious, you know. I would laugh. But then he got a dose of reality, a splash in the face of what it's like to be a politician, a president from the day one, you know, when people are trying to cut you down to size, you know. From day one, they were trying to impeach him, right? And then, I mean, just because they didn't like him, because they didn't like some of the things he was saying. And I got to agree with him there a little bit, too, the Twitter feeds, you know, the comments, the calling people names, crazy, moron, that kind of stuff. I mean, I didn't like that. That's not something a president should be saying, you know. There's a presidential way to behave, you know, to hold yourself, to be presidential, like being royalty, you know, like a king and a queen. You don't find a king or in some country calling people crazy, morons, and stupid, and you know, this and that. No, they don't do that. There's a way to behave. Mr. Trump never got it. He never did. He does his own thing, you know. I think during his inauguration, he played My Way by Frank Sinatra. I sang it recently, and so I know that song inside and out. And I've sang it in front of many people. I remember one time I went to the Gateway Club on Lackland Air Force Base. They had karaoke. They haven't had it since COVID began. But I practice singing all the time. I'm a great singer. I mean, humbly, I say that. And I know the words to a lot of songs. And I think I went with my wife, and we met a friend there at the Gateway Club. And this was maybe a couple of years ago. And Frank Sinatra, I know My Way, I know Fly Me to the Moon, Love is a Nice Splendid Thing, and Strangers in the Night. And never did quite get, I never practiced New York, New York enough, although I know basically most of the words. Start spreading the news, I'm leaving today. I want to make a brand new start of it in old New York. Anyway, so I go to this the club, right? I mean, I go up there and give and say, "Do you have My Way, Frank Sinatra?" So the song started, and I grabbed the microphone, you know, and I had the microphone, and I started singing it. All of a sudden, like, everyone started looking at me, turned around. People at the bartender was looking at me like, "Oh my God, this guy can really sing!" So that was a little bit of pressure, right? But I did okay. I finished it in style. How's it end? Yes, it was my way. Anyway, and by the way, I'm a firm believer that every human being, that's you out there, you're a human being. Every human being has the inherent ability to sing and dance. Now, people might just debate that aggressively and say, "No, you're wrong. I can't hold a tune, or I can't dance. I've got two left feet." Oh, well, that's very funny. You're a very funny person, but let me tell you something. That's not true. You have the inherent ability to sing and dance, and you will find that out once you get to heaven, H-E-A-V-E-N, my friends. Because guess what? The rule of law there in that land of light, where the spirit thrives in the light, is praising the creator of the universe for the miracles of all creation. Because guess what? There didn't have to be anything. It could have been nothing. I mean, the creator of the universe created something out of nothing. All this around us is incredible. You know, it's a miracle. It's awesome. Beautiful. Well, when we get to heaven, we especially realize that. Not so much now here, living in this material, carnal body, you know, where we have to survive, and we have jobs, and we're making money, and we've got bills to pay, and we have to eat. There's very little time to think about God and praise God. But when we get to heaven, I guarantee you, the order of business there, from the moment you're there until you reincarnate into another body elsewhere in the universe, is praising God, thanking God. And there's going to be big praise celebrations, you know. And it's going to be awesome. But anyway, what I was saying about Joe, I pray, I hope that people don't disrupt the inauguration coming next week, you know, coming up next week. Because, you know, he didn't do anything to deserve the people disrupting his inauguration. You know, he won fairly and squarely. Logic, my friends. Here we go again. Logic. Rationale. You say there's voter fraud? Show me. Where? Write it down. I want to look at it. I want to see it. The Supreme Court. Would it pass the Supreme Court's test? They tried that. It didn't work. Now, Mr. Trump, he's got his own farewell planned, and that's kind of typical of him. You know, that's never been done before, I think, or it's been 150 years since a president had a farewell, you know, that celebration, like around the same time inauguration. Sometimes he comes across to me, you know, My mother did say, if you don't have something nice to say something about somebody, don't say anything at all. Well, sometimes he just comes across to me like a five-year-old throwing a tantrum, you know. But that's good. We all have a children inside of us, you know. I'm a firm believer in the Bible, one of my favorite books, by the way. You might have heard me talk some stuff about the Bible. And I change subjects here fast, you know. I like changing subjects because I've got an hour to talk. And really, an hour isn't a lot of time. I was thinking about this earlier. And the Bible is kind of like, it's full of gold. It's got a lot of wisdom and truth to it. But you have to sift. It's like looking for gold, searching for gold in a stream. You know, you can find gold there. But there's also a lot of dirt and stuff that looks like gold, maybe even fool's gold. You can't be fooled by that stuff. You have to dig out the gold, find what's real, what's true about the Bible. Because it has a lot of gold in it, you know. It has a lot of truth in it, just not everything. Some people, they say, well, I believe everything the Bible says. Well, you can't, I mean, you can do that, but that's, to me, that's illogical because, I mean, there's discrepancies in the Bible. I'm not going to spend the time to point them out, but I've seen them. I've seen errors, contradictions. But anyway, gold. So the sun is going down here. The sun has gone down. I guess you could say still going down because there's light out over in the distance. Next week, then, during the inauguration, I hope there's no armed rebellions, no riots. Logic. All I could say to those people that are out there and they've been on social media saying they're going to do this, they're going to do that. Where's the evidence that Mr. Trump won? Because this is all about him winning, right? And the Electoral College vote was what, 328 to 2 something? I mean, Joe Biden beat him. Joe Biden beat him in a popular vote. We're about to have a first black female vice president. Isn't that a time for celebration here in the United States? Just like when Mr. Obama became president, the first black president. This is a time. These are great times. We have changed, you know. Can you imagine this happening 100 years ago? No way. So on the subject of logic, remember, I'm going to prove to you that there's life out there elsewhere in the universe, because that's one of the reasons of having my show. And I've told you this before on previous shows. I want, hopefully in my lifetime, to see contact between us and an extraterrestrial species out there. You know, right now, we're just not ready. We got this pandemic going on. You know, there's been a lot of wars in our past. Hello? Hello? Anybody? Hello? Anyone not think there's anybody believe that we haven't had wars in our past? I know it's a good thing to forget about them, but we have to recognize that we've had them, that we are a very violent species, human beings, capable of killing each other, mass murder in the millions. Throughout our history, it's been that way, but we're changing, we're evolving. There is a future, and the future does look bright because we can be loving to each other. And guess what? The good news is there's only a minority of people who are the bullies, the dictators, and the tyrants in the world who cause all the trouble we've gotten into before in the past, the so-called leaders of the world who fool us with their rhetoric, you know. That's what Mr. Trump has done, too, with his rhetoric. He has led some people down that path like sheep being led to a slaughterhouse, not knowing what they're doing, following blindly. You've seen it before. What was that guy, James Jones? They had a mass suicide because they believed in someone so strongly, because that person could talk, you know, talk your ear off. It sounded really good. They were so confident of themselves. But let me tell you, you're a co-creator, God in the making. You don't need anyone to lead you. You don't need to follow anybody. You have your creator of your soul and your spirit, and you can have a direct relationship with him, her. That's right. The creator of the universe is both male and female. It's true. You know it is. Deep down in your soul and your spirit, you know it is. We're living in a universe of male and female, alpha, omega, yin, the yang, the positive, the negative. And that's reality. That's a law. You can't break that law. But I was going to say logic. That's what we need for any situation, like the election logic, the inauguration logic. These people out there that have this flawed rationale, white supremacists especially, am I the only one that thought that was, my wife is African-American. You know, I've got my stepdaughter, three grandchildren, they're African-Americans. And it was obvious to me looking at some of these people on television. Oh, that's another thing, too. They want their day on television. That's probably one reason, if among the other illogical reasons why they did this. Maybe that was no illogical reason to want to get on television, you know, be famous. Hey, look at me. I'm on television. I made it. You know, they're covering this, you know. A lot of people are angry over COVID. You have to understand that, too, you know. Because, as I mentioned, they're unemployed. They're not working. They're not paying the bills. They don't have the money for food. It is so sad. God, help us, please. Everyone. We need help. But anyway, logic. Logic is going to see us through. I appeal to those people out there not to riot and revolt again. You made your point, kind of. You know, I understand. I mean, not only, again, don't be fooled by one person. You know, Mr. Trump, yeah, his words, he's a billionaire, you know. And who am I? I don't have billions of dollars, but I can tell you that there's some people that can lead you down the road, the wrong road. You can say the same for me, too, you know, some of the things that I say, but time will be the ultimate test when we get to that spirit realm, you know, that world of light somewhere up there in the sky where the spirit can live in the fire and we are our true selves because we're beings of light. You have to remember that. It's like the great rock group, The Police, said, and I've said this before, in their song, "We Are Spirits in the Material World." We are spirits in the material world. It's amazing. You know, we've got these bodies. We're wearing them like coats, old coats, you know. And it's awesome. We're born into this world, you know. And we are co-creator gods in the making. This life is not the end, you know. It goes on after this life. There's life after life. Life after death. There's a realm, a spiritual realm we go to, which is our land of light, because we are spirits of light, beings of light. And that's what it's all about here. We're here to learn from the darkness, to increase our light, because we have our soul is like a lamp bulb of a particular wattage. And when you're born, you have a certain number assigned to it. Let's say, let's just make this up. Say you're born with a 40-watt light bulb, lamp bulb of a soul. And your objective, your mission is to graduate, in other words, to live as many years as you can, because each day is a gift, my friends. You know, each day really is a gift, and we ought to be grateful for every single day, every single moment. The object is to graduate with a 100-watt lamp bulb, light bulb of a soul. Does that make sense? Because when you get to heaven, I guarantee you, and I've said this before, when you meet your creator, the light of the mother and father God is going to wash over you like a hurricane force wind. It's going to be so strong and powerful. And unless you are sufficiently developed enough to withstand that brilliance and glory, you're going to have to, you won't be able to withstand their presence for very long. You won't be able to stay in the presence for very long. And then you'll have to go into the outer edges of paradise, you know, and eat from the tree of life and smell the leaves, heal the nations, like it says in the Bible, and learn. The learning continues there, you know, because you get there and you from what I've read a lot of books. Believe it or not, there's a lot on the subject of heaven. People that have been there, what they've learned. A lot of people get there and say, I didn't think I was going to make it, but I'm here. Oh, thank God. If only I'd known this. Oh, if only I should have done that. What a waste of time. I could have done this. I could have done that. But anyway, heaven, yes. So logic, I was going to prove logic, through logic, with logic, that there is life out there. And that's the next step in our evolution, my friends. It's one of the next steps in our, the huge next step in our evolution. Just like when Columbus discovered the North American coast, or when Columbus discovered North America, right? Before, people thought the world was flat. When Copernicus told the world back then, around 1500, you know, about 500 years ago, that the Earth was not at the center of the solar system, that the whole universe did not revolve around Earth. The Earth revolved around the center of the universe. But people didn't believe him back then. And it took, I mean, he was like imprisoned in his own house, you know, under house arrest, because back then that was blasphemy, heresy, you know, and it turned out to be true. So we're right now stuck in this mindset that we're alone in the universe, which is not true, because I can prove it to you through logic. But you want, a lot of people want evidence. They want a piece of a spacecraft, or they want to see an extraterrestrial up close. Let me tell you, if you saw one, you probably have that deer in the headlights stare, that thousand-yard stare. You probably would be paralyzed, because you'd be looking at a being that is about 100 times more intelligent than you are, capable of traveling throughout the universe in a very quick fashion, either conventionally, you know, approaching the speed of light, or going interdimensionally into the parallel universes. And I think I would be the same too, you know, because these beings are so intelligent. It's just like they know what you're thinking. They can communicate telepathically, you know, before you even say something. And there's like these people on Earth, they're like kindergarten children, you know, and we're, you know, like college graduates. And these beings are still destroying themselves. They're still, you know, killing each other. And there's so very little value for life. But anyway, back to proving that there is life out there. Okay, so I've done this before. If you've listened to my show before, you know this, but I love doing it. And it's kind of like Joel Osteen when he has his sermon, you know, at his church. I don't know if he's still getting sermons after COVID, but, you know, before. He's such a beautiful talker, smooth, you know, and always has some very relevant things to talk about, interesting subjects. He says, now pick up your Bible, tell it like you mean it. This is my Bible. And I believe, you know, and he goes, does this thing. Well, my spin is all this life on Earth, over a million types of insects, my friends, over 30,000 types of fish, over 10,000 types of birds and reptiles, different types. I do mean different types of all shapes and sizes. Over 9,000 types of amphibians, over 5,000 types of mammals, all the flowers and trees and the fruits and the vegetables, if all this happened by accident, couldn't it happen by accident elsewhere in the universe, anywhere in the universe? But if there is a creator who is powerful and knowledgeable enough to create all this life on Earth, isn't it logical to assume that the creator is capable, with his power, his very power and knowledge, to create either the same or different life anywhere in the universe? Now that's logic. Also logical. If the creator can create all this life on Earth, then logically, the creator could create either the same or different life anywhere. And I do mean A-N-Y-W-H-E-R-E in the universe. Anywhere in the universe. Anywhere. So that's my little spiel that I love to talk about. How am I doing on time here? Let me see. 6:40. I got 20 minutes. So I hope that the inauguration goes well. I'm so happy for Kamala Harris, the first female black vice president. Isn't that a tremendous accomplishment? And we the people Oh, that's another thing, too. The politicians, you know, I understand how they have to vote along party lines. And some of the things they've been saying, you know, when they took a vote for the impeachment last week, I was like, how can these people be so, like, from different ends of the spectrum, you know, thinking one way, two different, totally different viewpoints. But I believe that what I saw the videotape of Mr. Trump before that riot, you know, and some of his words, especially saying that he was going to be with them, you know, walking down the street and to give them hell, that was going to be a wild riot, a wild protest. And Mr. Giuliani was saying combat by trial. And a couple of other politicians were getting him fired up. Now, if that doesn't fit the explanation of inciting what happened, then I don't know what is or what would be. Let's just say they didn't talk to that crowd before. I don't think it would have been as violent. I don't think they would have gone inside and said, hang Mike Pence. And that was pretty good on him for not invoking the 25th Amendment. I heard that it was about a minute. It was about a minute between when they could have gotten to him and when they took him away and hit him out somewhere there in the Capitol building. If they got him, I don't think they would have heard him, but, you know, it was mainly just talk, hang Mike Pence. I don't think they would have hung him. But I really would have had to think hard about invoking the 25th Amendment because here's logic, Mr. Trump kind of started that. And that's been the same rhetoric that's been going on his 4 years as president. It's been very divisive, you know. Really, the Republican Party can do better. We can do better. We need a man who's strong, who's physically fit, who is very intelligent and well-read, someone who is very presidential, carries himself with an air of aristocracy, if you will, who is never says anything bad about somebody in public. Maybe, you know, when he goes home to his wife in their bedroom, and he might say, well, that son of a, or that bat, you know, I don't say bad words, but, you know, I'm so angry at, but during, in public, don't talk about your dirty laundry, you know. There's a way to be presidential. President Obama was a very presidential president, wasn't he? He was very proper in all he did. He spoke very eloquently. He was a scholar. You know, he was a good man, never said anything bad about people. And that's another thing about Mr. Trump. He questioned where Mr. Obama was born. That should have been a warning signal from the beginning. But there I go again, not saying nice things about people. Anyway, I love Mr. Trump. I can say that. We all ought to love each other, you know. But we're going through this evolutionary process, and we have to stick with it, you know, and we're a work in progress, and there's nothing to worry or fear about, you know. We just got to deal with it, but at the same time, we need to hold people accountable for the things they do, and we the people, like I was saying, the Constitution, if you choose to believe in the Constitution, that's one thing, you know. If you don't want to, that's another thing. And the politicians in Washington, as far as I'm concerned, and in my opinion, are not doing their constitutional oath. I mean, they're not living up to their constitutional obligations. Let me be more specific. All these along party lines, they're so caught up in the competition between themselves that they're not doing what's right for the people. We, the people, the welfare of the people should be more important than the competition of the political parties, but they're blinded. They're deafened by their competition. It's obvious, very obvious to me. But then again, that's evolution, the evolutionary process. So we're getting there, you know, day after day. The sun goes down, the sun comes up. And it's all like clockwork, perfect. Isn't it? Not a glitch in the system anywhere. some kind of mechanics turning this world, revolving it around the sun that is perfect, a power, a higher power, if you will, that we know about because we're co-creator gods in the making. If you have a heart and a brain, you're a co-creator god in the making. If you can die, you're a co-creator god in the making. And there is life after life. And you will go to, not everyone makes it to heaven. You know, you have to understand that because people have to pay the price for their mistakes. That's universal law. My prayer is that everybody will eventually get to heaven, and I think so. I don't believe that our Creator will lose a single soul. Even someone like Hitler, you know, there's a place where people go, bad people, and it's called hell, H-E-L-L. Another word for it, what I consider two words, actually, it's God's jail. And our Creator, our Mother and Father God in heaven, I'm not, you know, the creators of our souls and our spirits are our Mother and Father God who lived their lives on planets just like this one, on a planet just like this one in their past until they achieved that co-creator God status. But they're not the same. They're separate from the supreme creator of the universe who initiated the Big Bang, who existed before the material universe existed. And so our Mother and Father God in heaven, who are co-creators like we're going to be one day, are very loving, and they would never condemn us to an eternity of damnation and suffering just because we disobeyed them or did things that maybe we weren't totally responsible for, like maybe murder. Say, for example, somebody killed somebody, but it was in self-defense. And maybe then they were, some people tried to retaliate and get revenge against them, you know, because maybe it was a brother. And they, so then that person had to kill a few more people, and all of a sudden then they've got several deaths on their soul, you know, several lives they took. And then the police, the law is after them, and they don't understand, you know, what happened, the circumstances. And so that person then is now being sought by the law. They're a fugitive. And then that person dies accidentally and suddenly, and all of a sudden they find themselves in hell. But the Mother and Father God are merciful and understand what the person was. Even someone like Hitler, you know, when they were a baby, when they were born, they were pure, they were innocent. And then when they were growing up, you know, maybe the parents abused them physically, sexually. Maybe they got abused by their peers. They were ridiculed. I'm going to take a drink. So the Mother and Father God, they have that knowledge. They, through angels, you know, they get, we all have angels around us. You, me, we have at least one angel in our lives. And they report back all the time on, you know, how we're doing. And when we die on that day of judgment, when we have our life review, we get to see everything that we've done as good and bad in our past. And that will determine, including ourselves, judging ourselves, how we will go on to either progress, you know, move on to after maybe a little exodus in heaven, you know, enjoying the beauty and the love there. Then we have a goal, a mission, you know, to reincarnate and continue the evolutionary process on a planet of a higher evolutionary category in the universe. And so it is, my friends. When you look up into the evening sky and you see there's a lot of, people call them stars. I call them suns, really. And that's another thing, too, just like with Copernicus and Columbus. Those stars are actually suns and solar systems. Each one has at least 9 planets surrounding it, you know, revolving around it. And have you ever gone out there and looked up at the evening sky and just for like a few seconds, a few moments, you realize that the whole sky is covered in suns out there? I mean, every single square inch of the sky is covered in suns just for a moment, you know. Then it happens to me sometimes, but then you see the usual stars that are out there, the Big Dipper, you know, the Little Dipper, the North Star, other stars, you know. Not too many. I would say you look up at the sky and there's 20, 30, 40 stars up there, you know. Suns, same thing, star suns. Just so you know, I explain my rationale for that. But then there's so many more. So many more. And because of the atmosphere and pollution to the atmosphere. But isn't the Creator great? Supreme Creator of the universe, we give you praise. Thank you for the miracles of creation. You are so wonderful and awesome. And I know that we will continue to praise and worship you forever because you're worthy of it. All this beauty, all this wonder, and I don't know how you do it. I'm not capable of creating anything, not even an ant, not even an apple seed. But you are so incredibly intelligent and loving. Thank you. 1,000 thank yous. And so, my friends, I think, how am I doing on time here? Well, 6:52, I've got a few minutes. It's all good. So next week, I hope that the inauguration goes off well. I hope there's no major incidents. Nobody gets hurt, you know, because how many died over the last one? 5 people died. That was just an error in our rationale, so to speak. You know, they could have the Capitol building better prepared. There could have been bulletproof windows. There could have been doors that are locked, you know, so no one can get in there inside the Capitol building. They could have had a larger security guard presence. They could have had some more people outside once they knew that. I think they did know in advance there was going to be a large protest, you know, like thousands of people. They could have called in the National Guard at that time. Maybe it might have been worse if they'd done that. I don't know, you know, because then it could have really got hairy, you know, and bullets could have started flying. And I hope that doesn't happen, you know. We don't want that. Don't want a single person to get hurt or die, you know, especially because we're all related. You know, we're brothers and sisters in spirit. There's Mike. Hi, Simba. God has blessed us with some wonderful pets. You know, I hope that God keeps them safe and well. We have 2 cats, 3 actually, one that lives in our garage. And we've got 3 dogs. And right after my show, we're going to take the dogs out for a walk, a run, actually. We take them to this one location where they can run around. Even at night, you know, we've got this path that we follow, and it's good. A dog that can run is a happy dog, you know. Everyone, if you got a dog out there, try to let it run, because dogs love to run, because I know that running is life. That's one reason I got back into running, because I saw my dogs. They live to run. Why? Because it exercises their heart, you know. It's good for their heart. The heart's like a muscle, and the lungs, too. And then, you know, when your heart starts beating faster and pumping more blood to your body, it's just beneficial, you know. You can't deny that. Logic is sound, my friends, you know. But you don't want to do too much. I try not to do too much. And I have 1 kidney, too, so I'm always thinking, I hope I'm not doing anything that's going to damage my kidney. It's been 25 years since I donated one of my kidneys to my son. Going on 26 years, and I don't want to damage my kidneys. So, sometimes I get little pangs of pain, and I wonder what did I do wrong? You know, was it something I ate, or maybe I exercised too hard? You know, I try to do about 1 mile each day, a little bit of running, a little bit of walking, mostly walking. Anyway, so my show's coming to an end. I really enjoy this show. You know, many thanks to BBS Radio for this opportunity. I think I hear that also they have a possible, they do videos too. I might look into that in the future, you know. God willing, you know, I'll see how my financial situation improves. And so a shout out to BBS Radio. I got 1 minute. BBS Radio, you know, my son. Anybody who might be listening out there, thank you for listening to my show. You're all great. You're wonderful. I love you. May God May the creator of the universe bless us, everyone. My son and I, we joke, Tiny Tim, you know, in the Christmas Carol, he says, may God bless us, everyone. My son does it really good. He says, may God bless us, everyone, but in a special voice. You know, so I'll say it again. I say that for us right now. May God bless us, everyone. Take care. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.